We can put on the screen. We don't have the scriptures. I'll just want you to listen. The greatest part of preaching for the 50-some years that I've done is the preparation. I wish we could experience together what I experience personally when I get ready. It's just awesome. It's what's kept me going in the ministry. And I thought the other day, maybe I just need to get a sermon ready every Sunday. You know, don't get to preach it, but at least I'll... There you go. Going out in the street reminds me. I don't know, if Menard closes, you know it's because of me. Our house is finished, and so I go there once, at least almost every day. And I don't know if it was at Menard's or where I was this week. And try to share my faith. So I was sharing with this guy. Oh, we have some things in common. We're Christians. We're believers. And I don't know how we ever got to it. But he said to me, and it so took me back, I didn't know what to say to him. He said, he made this statement, and I quote, "I never read my Bible." Now I know how Hans feels about that. No, I was so taken back, I didn't even ask him why. But how in the world can we claim to be followers of Christ and not get into the Word? That's just what I want to say about that, but I want to talk to you about, do we have it? Yeah. Oh, I'd forget that screen's broke. In the Spirit. I knew several weeks ago I was going to preach, and I right away the Lord told me what to preach on. So, since the day of Pentecost, which we can read in Acts 2, we are living in the days of the Holy Spirit. It's not that God the Father doesn't mean anything. It's not that Jesus doesn't mean anything, but we're living in the privileged time of the Holy Spirit. Nobody can get saved without the Spirit. Nobody can be filled without the Spirit. Nobody can be baptized without the Holy Spirit. You can't live this Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Amen. Period. So I wish I could remember who that guy was. I'd like to go back to him. Maybe I wouldn't. Maybe the Lord needs to get to him. So we're living in the days without the Spirit. We just can't do it. We are either living in the Spirit or we are living in the flesh. Now, I want to read these verses of Scripture, which is not my main point, and I don't want to get so sidetracked on my secondary points, I don't get to the main point. But anyway, here's what it means to live in the flesh. In Galatians, and if you have your Bible, you can follow along. Otherwise, just pay attention. If you follow along, that means you pay attention too. But Galatians 5:19, it tells us what it is like for a person, for an individual, to walk according to the flesh. Here's the fruit you will find, walking in the flesh. Now, the doings of the flesh, very clear. They are immorality, impurity, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, division, party spirits, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. That's not the complete list, but you get the idea, don't you? What it's like to live out of the flesh. And then he says, I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things, the Bible say that, I don't make the rules and regulations. You understand that, right? I follow them, and I need to live by them. If you do such things, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to get in. You will not inherit the kingdom of God if you walk according to the flesh. Now notice the opposites, extreme opposites, if you're walking in the Spirit. I don't know, I'm right-handed sometimes, left-handed the other time, but today I'm right-handed. I missed that screen. But look at this. The fruits of the Holy Spirit. So you know how you're living. And the worst thing we can do is try to fool ourselves. That's the worst thing we can do. Say, I'm a Christian, I never read the Word. I'm a Christian, I still walk after flesh, I still do these sinful things. You don't habitually do those things. Here's what the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is presence. Remember? I love to sing about that. We got a notice in the mail. What's his name? He's going to be in Chicago. Have you ever heard of Ryan Hart Bonnke? I've heard about him years ago. And we've been in the atmosphere of revival. He's going to be in Chicago. My first response was, let's go. I'd rather be in his presence than anywhere else. Maybe we should, as a church, we should take a ride to Chicago. Boy, you talk about a guy that's anointed. You know, anointed of the Holy Spirit. Now, where was I? Here's what his presence within us accomplishes. Are you listening? If you're walking in the Spirit, this is how you'll walk. This is the fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control. Against such, there is no law. You don't have to, this is not something you have to be preached to about or explained. It is plain as the nose on your face, and that's pretty plain. Walk. So I'm asking us, myself included, how are you walking? Are you in the Spirit? Or are you walking according to the flesh? I have two things I want to talk to you about. So this is not a good three-point sermon. It's only 2 points. But let's see what the Lord can share with us. Number one, if you're in the Spirit, one thing you need to do and find is liberty and rejoicing in the Spirit. Now, I find that people can walk in the flesh, and sleep with who they shouldn't be sleeping with, and still be kind of joyful. But you know when it's the real thing. It's in the Spirit. So learn liberty and rejoicing in the Spirit. Romans 8, 13 and 15. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, which we read, and there are more, you will die. But if you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, this is not something you can wake up or say, okay, I've decided, yeah, you need to make a decision to do it, but you can't do this on your own. It can't be done. You can't live the Christian life on your own. If you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, are habitually putting to death the deeds prompted by the body, you shall live forever. You know, when I first started preaching many, many years ago, more years than many of you have been alive, I was told, you get saved. I pastored the Wesleyan Church all of my life, except once in the Methodist Church. But I've really been open to... No, I'm not even going there. Yeah, maybe I should. I had a great loss a week or two ago. One of my favorite pastors went to be with the Lord. Heaven's gain, my loss. He came to visit us. he and his wife, I think, before they both passed away, were in every state in the United States. When we were in Arizona, wasn't it Arizona? They'd never been to Arizona. He was an AG pastor. Really loved him. We loved to go to his church. His presence was there. And there was a bond between us because of that. When we moved to Wisconsin, he called and he said, "You know, we've never been to Wisconsin." I felt like, I don't know how much you've missed. But no, Wisconsin's nice this time of the year. So they came to see us in Wisconsin. Well, I didn't even hear about 3-4 months ago. His wife passed away. I have, since I've been here on occasions, called him for advice, you know, because of Evergreen and our responsibility. I've just called him up and asked him for his advice. He hasn't answered lately. He's in heaven, so I don't think there's a way for him to respond. And so about three months ago, his wife passed away, and then just lately he passed away. I think there's one body. We don't get this. It's not denominations. It's one body. One head. And so I love people. I have a little problem. The Lord help me with people who tell me they never read their Bible and different things like that, because you will not grow unless you do that. In the Holy Spirit, there is real liberty and freedom. How am I doing? Are the chairs comfortable? We don't want them too comfortable, and yet we don't. You know what I mean. So you fall asleep. One of my favorite Bible characters is David. Wow. He was now king. You look up to a king, right? In those days they did. You look up to a president. In those days they did. I'm not going there. Believe me, I'm not going there. I've got other things to cover this morning. The Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament was symbolic of the presence of the Lord. As the Holy Spirit is now, the Ark of the Covenant was very important. Because the Ark of the Covenant brought blessings. The Ark of the Covenant, this was where God was. So when they brought the Ark of the Covenant back to his place, and David was king in 2 Samuel 6:11, the Ark of the Lord remained in the house. I always have trouble. I have Obed Edom. It was there for 3 months. And the Lord blessed him and all his household. Boy, there's nothing like his presence. Wow. And it was told King David, "Hey, God's blessing is upon this place because God's there." And so David went and brought up the Ark of God from his house into the city of David with rejoicing. If you actually, in reality, feel the manifested presence of the Holy Spirit, it is a common thing to rejoice. In fact, look what the king did. When those who bore the Ark of the Covenant had gone 6 paces, they sacrificed the oxes. Verse 14, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. I like that. So David and all his house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. His wife Michelle looked out, and she seen her husband dancing, and she despised him in her heart. There are still people who don't like it when we get free. If we'd really get free in church, there'd be some people that maybe wouldn't come anymore. They'd be like Michelle. Look at that. Who do you think they are? I liked it. There was a time in our church, we had a few university students. I know how you felt about it, but I loved it. Come to the side here. And they dance. Harry's king. He puts it all aside. The ark is here. We finally found the presence of God. Rejoicing and dancing. Liberty. Holy Spirit brings liberty. In the Spirit, if you're in the Spirit, there's liberty and rejoicing. Second, just 2 points, and I will be done. And I'm really concerned, folks. I do not have words to utter. Maybe Dee could utter them for me in tongues. I don't have words to describe what I want to tell you. And I'm not going to water it down. Can I tell you that? The lack of prayer in the Spirit makes us powerless as well as fruitless. The early church in Acts, read the book of Acts sometime, and circle every time they prayed. One time they prayed and the place was shaken. So let me make this statement powerfully, meaningfully, and without judgment. The lack of individual prayer, the lack of the local church praying, has brought us to the place where we are. I could quit. And I want to say this. Until we recover this great secret of praying in the Spirit, we will not be a Holy Spirit church on fire. It's impossible. Romans 8:26 says, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. We do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it wordedly as we ought. In fact, we could put a lot of substitutes in there. We can't do anything without the help of the Holy Spirit. So we don't know how to pray. We don't know what prayer to offer. We don't know how to offer it. But the Spirit himself goes and meets our supplication and pleads on our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. You know what prayer does? It shows our dependence upon God. Otherwise, you know, like my little granddaughter, who's 5 now, I can do it myself. And she's stubborn. I don't know where she got it from, but she didn't get it from this chairman. If you have a stubborn child, I'd like you for... She should get together with Brene. I would like to be there, but not very long. I'm having my way about this. Go in your room and don't come back out until you're done. That's what the folks say. Sometimes God has to discipline us too, right? For our own pleasure, for our own good, for our own safety. I just don't know how else to say the importance of praying. And it's important in your individual life. And I think it's important as a church. Paul says, what am I to do? 1 Corinthians 14:15. I will pray with my spirit, by the spirit that is within me. I will also pray with my intellect, with my mind and my understanding. I will sing in the spirit, by the Holy Spirit that is within me. I will also sing intelligently, with my mind and understanding also. My spirit in contact with the Holy Spirit brings great results. Underline that. My spirit in contact with the Holy Spirit brings great results. You've got to, if you're in order to be saved, it's by the Spirit. It's in order to be filled, to walk, to meet your problems, to reach your destination, you need the Holy Spirit. Can't do it without Him. How vain and useless it is without the Holy Spirit being in it. Even church. Useless without His presence. The church needs more of His presence than anything else. We need people to lead us in worship. We're seeking for a pastor. I'm seeking for a pastor. I'm seeking for a Holy Spirit pastor. If that's not what we want, I'm sorry, that's the chief thing I am looking for. I'm looking for a fired up Holy Spirit pastor. It's the only credentials, as far as I'm concerned. Because He'll walk and He'll love us. He'll be a shepherd to us. But He's got to be filled with the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Your life without the Spirit, the church without His presence, isn't going anywhere. We're just not going to go anywhere. So I want to conclude. And it may be a longer conclusion than you want. Zechariah. We can notice in our mind. I even have it in my billfold. A card that I hand out for people. You know, when you feel like you're important, you can have a card to give to someone, right? Here's your name and address and so forth. And it has the scripture on top of it. It's not enough. You got to live it. Man, I wish the Old Testament, you know, when Moses went up to the mountain, God even wrote it on tables of stone. That didn't mean nothing. They couldn't keep it just because it was written down. Couldn't do it. And this is about the Holy Spirit. I know how many times I read this, and every time I read it, I got more out of it. And every time I read it, I didn't understand most of it. How is that possible? But I want to quit with Zechariah, the 4th chapter. And there's a lot in it. You know the prophets. Wow, they were people of God who spoke. How would you like to, for example, I was reading about David. His one big sin was, you remember, the armies were out at war and he stayed at home and he was just walking around in his house, and all of a sudden something caught his eye. It was a woman. She was bathing and she was beautiful. David looked, man. I can't whistle too well. And he sent somebody to go get her. She was a married woman. They went to bed together. They slept together. Sent her back home. Her husband was out in the battlefield. One of the men of the battle. And then her name was Bathsheba. She said, go tell the king I'm pregnant.
Wow.
One night, this is what happens. The best thing that could have happened. Otherwise, he thought he would have gotten away with it. And then make things worse, one of the men in the battle, he told him, her husband, tell him to come here. I need to talk to him. And so David was trying to hide his sin, and he thought her husband would come home and go to bed with his wife, and all would be well. One sin covers another. You know how that works, right? Well, he came, but he never went home. He said, how can I go home and sleep with my wife? In essence, Wagner translation, how can I go home and sleep with my wife if my men are out in the battlefield? So David said to the man that came from the war, he wrote a note, sealed it, said, give this to the leader. And in the note, have her husband in the front line and have him killed. How would you like to be a prophet? This is the king. Nathan, the Lord, said, you're to go to the king. You think preaching is hard? You got to be a prophet in the Old Testament. And so Nathan came and he said to David, I have a story to tell you. There were two farmers. Let's just put this in modern translation. Two farmers. One farmer was rich, had land, cattle, and everything he could dream up. The other guy was so poor, all he had was a little lamb who became their pet. They slept with it, they ate with it, and everything. And so the rich farmer got visitors. Company. The company, you feed them. They must have been German. Guess what the rich man did? Did he take one of his cattle and one of his donkeys? I don't know if they eat donkeys. No, they didn't. He had the little lamb slain for a feast. David was angry and mad. He said, how could he do such a thing? And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. You try nowadays, church or out of church, to correct somebody. Well, the normal expression would be all hell broke loose. We're not good in correction. But David humbled himself, the man of God. But Zechariah, we've got to finish. The fourth chapter, there's so much in this. And the angel who talked with me came again. I find so many people who tell me that God never speaks to them. And you may be one of them. He that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. God still speaks. Different ways. Here, Zechariah, the angel came, and he talked to him again. Sometimes we don't get it the first time. And awakened him, like a man who is awakened out of his sleep. God shake us. God wake us up. The church is sleeping. It's the final hour. We need to be awakened, like a man out of sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? Hey, what do you see? And Barb's visual. I'm not. So I'm still kind of, after reading this many times and meditating on it, I still don't get quite the picture, but I get the message. So here, those of you who are visual. I'm going to ask you now when I've done reading this verse, did you get it? He said to me, what do you see? Are you ready? a lampstand all of gold. Can you see it? Can any of you see a lampstand all of gold? A bowl of oil on top of it. Okay? And seven lamps on it. Are you following yet? Is somebody still with me on this? I have a hard time to visualize, but I think that's where we are. And seven pipes to each of the seven lamps which are upon the top of it. And then he says there are two olive trees by it. One by the right side of the bowl and another on the left side of it, feeding it continually with oil. And so he said, as I say, who are these two olive trees? I don't know how many times I read this before I got it. Are some of you a little dense? You may not get this morning either. Then see? Verse 14, he said, these are the two olive trees. These are the two sons of oil. Joshua the high priest and Zerubbabel the prince of Judah. These are my two anointed ones who stand before the Lord of the whole earth as his anointed instruments. So here are the two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side of the bowl. It's feeding it continually with oil. Man, I almost had a hallelujah match shout when I read that. And that, really, when you get down to the basics, that's what we need. A continual flow of oil. And you know what oil is, right? The Holy Spirit. So above all that we need individually, and all that we need, no matter what you're going through this morning, you need his presence.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Preach it. Can you turn the pages? I need the Holy Spirit. I have battles going on in my personal life. And if you're living in this world, there's problems. You hardly get over one, the next one comes, and sometimes they double up, triple up. Been there, done that. In just one moment, his spirit witnesses with my spirit. And my adversary, the devil, has to flee. And I can be in victory because of his presence. So look at you this morning. I believe that some of you have known better days. Check your heart. Have you known better days? Some of you would like more. And some of you come to church expecting more. And we don't have enough of it here. But if he got it at home and brought it here, wouldn't take very many of us. You know what I'm saying? Don't look at the worship. I love good worship. Boy, I tell you, when the enemy tries to get at me, man, I'll just get my phone out. Little did I dream when I was a kid all the technology would have. Listen to a song or two. And just takes me to the second heaven, second level. You know, find ways to get encouraged. Find ways to get into the Spirit. You know, life can be tough and life can be hard. And sometimes there's a lot of mountains. You know, be like a mountain goat, huh? Man, if I can't get through this mountain, I'm going to go over it. You know, I'm going to get the victory. There are some things that you're struggling over. By the Spirit. We as a church are struggling. I don't have to tell you that. A new pastor can help, but and Rick and Sandra, I've done nothing but speak kindness to them, and I think they're doing the same with us. We love them. They love us, and they got us a little organized. Maybe over-organized, but bless them. We love them. We pray for them. They need direction, what they need to be doing. And they don't know. They're in limbo, just as we are. And we want to have a good relationship with them until God gives us a new pastor. But a new pastor isn't going to do it if we don't have the Spirit. What's the good of it? In fact, I'm saying to myself, can I get personal and real? What's the use of going on if we don't have the Holy Spirit's presence? And somehow, how do we get that? So just let me close. The word of the Lord. Not my words, not the church's words, but the word of the Lord. To Zerubbabel. I think it had, if Zerubbabel, if the prophets could speak today, they'd say have the same word, message for us as individuals, for the church. And this is the word of the Lord to the church, saying, not by might, nor by power. Hello. I really missed it one time. I don't know if I should get sidetracked. Yeah, no, I'm not going to. The word of the Lord to Zerubbabel saying, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, of whom the oil is symbolic and it has a continual flow. You can't get this. You can't say, well, I've been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. I've reached the focal point. I need no more. You need a ceaseless, continual, flow of oil of the Holy Spirit in your life. I don't know about you, I'm just telling you what I want. I need more of His presence in my life. If you don't have anything to pray about, you can pray for me. I wish I could say this, speak this right into your spirit, right into your heart, right into your soul. And you would agree with me. I need more of His presence in my life. The church needs more of His presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And until we get this message from Zechariah, we will never live a life in the Spirit. And in the church, it's not the worship team. It's not the pastor. In fact, church can sometimes be the worst place to be. Because we can live in the flesh. All we do is criticize one another, criticize the music. I've heard that in this church. So-and-so is going to do the worship, but I'm not coming. I don't say it, but I feel like saying it. Don't come. What kind of a spirit is that? So-and-so preaches. Val Wagner preaches on Sunday. I'll just take a Sunday off, making a difference who's behind the pulpit. It's all about Him. It's not about me. It's not about the worship team. It's not about the new pastor. And let's really pray. I want a pastor who really wants to come. I want a pastor who's on the same page as we are. We're after the Holy Spirit. We're after a Spirit-filled church. I need more of him. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So what I want us to do in closing, and I'm closing, you know, Paul said, finally, and then he goes on two more chapters. I think the preachers have been reading that. I want us to seek him for a life lived in the Spirit. And we're going to sing. You can sit where you are. You can stand. I'm going to come forward and I'm going to kneel. It's the best way I know. Personally, I know Barb can't do that, but in her spirit she can. So, worship team member, don't you appreciate when we just go on. Sometimes the low point is right before the high point. I pray that would be true of Evergreen Church. So let's seek him.